Paul Sir joins us from the basketball show here on TSN 1260, also executive director of Basketball Alberta. And Paul, it's been a crazy time for Canadian basketball. A massive boost in the arm. You watch the Raptors into the NBA Finals. They win Game One. The country's going crazy, and everyone's like, "Oh, the refs are out to get us now," because they lost Game Two. But as a former pro player, and you know, as a longtime coach, they have some great stats if you want to look up basketball stats. And I was surprised to learn today that during the regular season, the Raptors were the number one team on making teams pay when they had a wide open look. And what's deemed a wide open look is no defender around you for 6 feet. They were 61% in the regular season, best in the league. Warriors were third best, but the Raptors were the best. Last night, they were only 33%, 9 of 27, but were only 5 of 17 in the second half. Like, they had the looks down the stretch. In that 5 minutes and 32 seconds when the Warriors couldn't score a point, and the Raptors did score 10, but man, they missed so many open looks there. They were only 2 for 11.
That is the differentiation. When the ball's going in the basket, everybody thinks, my gosh, we're playing great. And you know, and the Raptors had the open looks. They had the opportunities to win last night, but because they miss, it looks like they're playing poorly or they're not playing up to what they normally would. Now, the one caveat I'd add to that, though, Jason, is I thought during the 18-0 stretch, it wasn't just the fact that they missed shots. It was the fact that they didn't attack the basket. They took soft jump shots.
Okay.
And that's usually when you're on your heels and you're hoping the ball goes in to break this stretch that you know is happening to you. But we were talking before we went on the air, Jason Strudwick, about why wasn't there a timeout? Probably a good question. That was the perfect time for Kawhi to get to the rim, get fouled, or to score. But instead, the team opted for open, soft jump shots. And as you said on that stat, Jason, they weren't hitting them.
What about as far as is there enough credit, or should there be credit given to Golden State and their defending? Because they looked more, to me, the defending they did looked more like what we saw from Toronto so far through the series, and Golden State was making it a little easier, or is it more on the Raptors and their inability to make those shots?
I think that's a great question, and I think it's probably a combination of both. The Warriors definitely were more engaged, but to the point of that, there were a lot of open shots that were missed that if we would have hit the shots, it would have looked like Golden State wasn't guarding any better. So when the ball goes in the basket, it looks like you're playing great offense. When the ball doesn't go in, it looks like you're playing great defense. So to me, Golden State was definitely better. They bothered Kawhi. Last night the Raptors only had 17 assists compared to 33, I believe, for Golden State. But there again, you make 10 more shots, 10 more wide open shots, sure. Get back to your percentage that you had during the regular season. Now you got 27 assists. So I think it was a combination of things last night. But what I saw was, especially in that 18-0 run, the moment seemed to get to the Raptors. They seemed, for the first time, to be pressing as opposed to just playing.
What was the impact of Boogie Cousins and his expanded minutes?
Big. 28 minutes. Not that they were all good minutes, but I think where Cousins really hurt the Raptors was with his passing. And everybody knew that Cousins is a gifted post-passer. And we certainly saw that last night. He had three assists in that 18-0 run that were really critical. Yeah. That really helped build the momentum that was going on in the game. So I thought Cousins was a huge addition. Steve Kerr, once again, looks like a genius. He trusts Cousins.
Who else is he going to trust at that point?
Everybody else is hurt. No, he had to go to him, and Cousins came through in a big way. Second playoff game in the guy's career. All that we've heard about Boogie Cousins, that's only the second game in his playoff career. First one was the other night.
Yeah, well, he was banged up this round, and then if you're not on a winning team, it's tough to get into the postseason. But the one thing I know, and you know, Nick Nurse, you want to talk about coaching when Lowry? Now he fouled out again, and we got to talk to that a little bit later on for sure, because that's the second time now in the playoffs, and you can't have your starting guard fouling out twice. I'm sorry, it's especially on like actually, let's get to it right now.
Okay.
You can't foul out on that play. It's an unnecessary one. It's in the essentially defense, you know, you're in the offensive zone. It's like an offensive penalty in hockey, Struds. It's like the worst one. Boogie Cousins isn't scoring a basket there. There's no, you know, you have five, and it was such a low percentage one. You're like, why are you doing that? Like, Lowry, I love his bulldoggedness. He's going to be intense. He's going to be 4 or 5 fouls a game because he doesn't, you know what? He's not afraid to stand in the lane. And sometimes he takes some of those fouls as a charge, but he sure takes a lot of charges at the same time. But he's got to make a better decision at that point. He can't be fouling out.
He can't be. And it, like you said, it was a pointless foul. And I think probably two or three of Kyle's fouls last night were exactly that play, trying to strip the ball in a position that really, if you got it, great, but why go for the hero ball when your team needs your presence on the court? I fully agree with that. We need more from Kyle Lowry in all respects, but you need your leader to be leading on the court, not cheering from the bench as he was, and that's twice now that it could have adversely affected the Raptors. So they need Lowry to tighten it up, be a little more disciplined, and pick his spots a little better.
We're talking with Paul Sir from the Basketball Hour of Basketball Alberta. Paul, Klay Thompson, what impact would let's just say it's a 10% tweak or 20% tweak of his hamstring. How does that affect a pure shooter like him?
That we'd have to wait and see. It was such a mistake, and that was all Thompson's fault because it looked like he was kicking his leg out to try to get fouled.
Sure, right.
So he hurt himself. So now 10 or 20% for a shooter's rhythm, that can make all the difference in the world. Last night he was on fire. He was unstoppable. It was nothing but the bottom of the net, as he can get with that fabulous lightning quick release of his.
It's,
what a thing of beauty. But now with him out, I mean, when you look at the advantage, to take it a step further, that the Raptors have right now with the Knicks, bruises, scrapes, and now rather serious injuries, the Raptors have every opportunity right now going back to Oakland to steal at least one, because this is not a healthy Golden State team. Now, having said that, they weren't healthy last night, and the Raptors have to learn from that. They have to learn to take the play to the Warriors, not let that run start, and not let the Warriors start working their magic.
Well, you know, the first half, the Raptors, they had a 13-point lead at one point. You're thinking, man, they might run away with this one. But the Warriors, as they've proven in the past, when they can get going. And here's the thing. In that run, when they went 18-0, you had Klay Thompson 3 of 4. You had Draymond Green 2 of 2. You had Iguodala 2 of 2. Steph Curry, their best shooter, was only 1 of 3. But those are the guys who took all their shots when they're down. I look at the Raptors when they were down, and God love Fred VanVleet. But Fred VanVleet took 5 shots in that 5 minutes and 32 seconds. And I know he was open lots, but it's still Fred VanVleet. And, you know, Kawhi Leonard only took 3 shots. Pascal Siakam only took 2 shots. And I just look at it and I'm like, man, if you're trying to come from behind, I love everything about Fred VanVleet. And I know Kyle Lowry's fouled out, but I don't want VanVleet taking, you know, 45% of my shots down the stretch in a 5 minute span.
Totally agree.
Unless he's making the first 2 or 3.
Well, absolutely. But at that point, that's when you need Kawhi doing what Kawhi does. A couple of things I didn't think the Raptors did well last night is I didn't think they created situations for Siakam, for example, to score. Siakam would catch. He caught the ball a lot on the baseline, but the spacing that the Raptors had, it always seemed like 2 or 3 defenders were in the area. And then I was looking and seeing, okay, well, where are the offensive players? They were too close.
Okay.
Everybody was crowding and Siakam couldn't get any kind of an attack lane to get to the rim. And so, the Warriors are doing a better job of sending an extra defender at both Siakam and at Leonard. But I think the Raptors have to do more in terms of ball movement and player movement. A lot of times they pass and stand. Last night they were passing and standing too much as opposed to changing or cutting. I really think that's what we have to see more from the Raptors when they go into Golden State.